Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlanka again with another episode, continuing with Eckhart Tolle's works, The Power of Now. The joy of being. To alert you that you have allowed yourself to be taken over by psychological time, you can use a simple criterion. Ask yourself, is there joy, ease, and lightness in what I am doing? If the answer is no, then time is covering up the present moment, and life is perceived as a burden or a struggle. If there is no joy, ease, or lightness in what you are doing, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to change what you're doing. It may be sufficient to change the how. How is always more important than what. See if you can give much more attention to the doing than to the result that you want to achieve through that doing. Give your fullest attention to whatever the moment presents. This implies that you also completely accept what it is, because you cannot give your full attention to something and at the same time resist it. As soon as you honor the present moment, all unhappiness and struggle dissolve, and life begins to flow with joy and ease. When you act out of present moment awareness, whatever you do becomes imbued with a sense of quality, care, and love, even the most simple action. So do not be concerned with the fruit of your action. Just give attention to the action itself. The fruit will come of its own accord. This is a powerful spiritual practice. In Bhagavad Gita, one of the oldest and most beautiful spiritual teachings in existence, non-attachment to the fruit of your action is called Karma Yoga. It is described as the path of consecrated action. When the compulsive striving away from the now ceases, the joy of being flows into everything you do. The moment your attention turns to the now, you feel a presence, a stillness, a peace. You no longer depend on the future for fulfillment and satisfaction. You don't look for that for salvation. And therefore, you are not attached to the results. Neither failure nor success has the power to change your inner state of being. Now, you have found the life underneath your life situation. In the absence of psychological time, your sense of self is derived from being, not from your personal past. Therefore, the psychological need to become anything other than who you are already is no longer there. In the world, on the level of your life situation, you may indeed become wealthy, knowledgeable, successful, free of this or that, but in the deeper dimension of being, you are complete and whole now. In that state of wholeness, would we still be able or willing to pursue external goals? Of course. But you will not have illusory expectations that anything or anybody in the future will save you or make you happy. As far as your life situation is concerned, there may be things to be attained, acquired. That's the world of form, of gain and loss. Yet, on a deeper level, you are already complete. And when you realize that, there's a playful, joyous energy behind what you do. Being free of psychological time, you no longer pursue your goals with grim determination, driven by fear or anger, discontent, or the need to become someone. Nor will you remain inactive through fear of failure, which to the ego is loss of self. When your deeper sense of self is derived from being, when you are free of becoming as a psychological need, neither your happiness nor your sense of self depends on the outcome. And so there is freedom from fear. You don't seek permanency where it cannot be found. In the world of form, of gain and loss, birth and death. And you don't demand that situations and conditions and places or people should make you happy, and then suffer when they don't live up to your expectations. You see, everything is honored, but nothing matters. Forms are born and die, yet you are aware of the eternal underneath the forms. You know that nothing real can be threatened. When this is your state of being, how can you not succeed? You have succeeded already. When every cell of your body is so present that it feels vibrant with life, when you can feel that life every moment is the joy of being, then it can be said that you're free of time. But you express, I still have to pay the bills. I'm still growing old, and I'll die just like everyone else. How is it possible that I can ever say I'm free of time? Tomorrow's bills are not the problem. The dissolution of the physical body is not a problem. Loss of now is the problem. Or rather, the core delusion that turns a mere situation, event, or emotion into a personal problem and suffering. Loss of now is loss of being. To be free of time is to be free of the psychological need of past for your identity and future for your fulfillment. It represents the most profound transformation of consciousness that you can possibly imagine. In some rare cases, this shift in consciousness happens dramatically, radically, once and for all. And when it does, it usually comes about through total surrender in the midst of intense suffering. However, most people have to work at it. And when you have had your first few glimpses of the timeless state of consciousness, you begin to move back and forth between the dimensions of time and presence. First, you become aware of just how rarely your attention is truly in the now. But to know that you are not present is already a great success. That knowing is presence, even if initially it only lasts for a couple of seconds before it's lost again. But then, with increasing frequency, you choose to have the focus of your consciousness in the present moment, rather than in the past or the future. And whenever you realize that you've lost the now, you're able to stay in it just for a couple of seconds, but for longer periods as perceived from the eternal, external perspective of time. So, before you are firmly established in the state of presence, which is to say, before you are fully conscious, you will shift back and forth for a while between consciousness and unconsciousness, between the state of presence and the state of mind identification. You lose the now, you return to the now, again and again, and eventually, presence, the now, becomes your predominant state. For most people, presence is experienced either never at all, or only accidentally and briefly on rare occasions without recognizing it for what it is. Most humans alternate not between consciousness and unconsciousness, but only between different levels of unconsciousness. As you probably know, in sleep you constantly move between the phases of dreamless sleep and the dream state. Similarly, in wakefulness, most people only shift between ordinary unconsciousness and deep unconsciousness. What we mean by ordinary unconsciousness means being identified with your thought processes and emotions, your reactions, desires, and aversions. And that is most people's normal state. In that state, you're run by the egoic mind, and you are unaware of being. It is a state not of acute pain or unhappiness, but of an almost continuous low level of unease, discontent, boredom, or nervousness, a kind of background static. Now, you may not realize this because it's so much a part of so-called normal living, just as you're not aware of a continuous low background noise, such as the hum of an air conditioner until it stops. And when that noise suddenly does stop, there's such a sense of relief. Many people use alcohol or drugs or sex or food, work, television, or even shopping as anesthetics in an unconscious attempt to remove the basic unease. So when this happens, an activity that might be very enjoyable if used in moderation becomes imbued with a compulsive or addictive quality. And all that is ever achieved through it is extremely short-lived symptom relief. The unease of ordinary unconsciousness turns into pain of deep unconsciousness, a state of more acute and more obvious suffering, unhappiness, when things go wrong. That is, when the ego is threatened or there's a major challenge, threat, or loss, real or imagined, in your life situation or conflict in a relationship. It is an intensified version of ordinary unconsciousness, different from it, not in kind, but in degree. In ordinary unconsciousness, habitual resistance or denial of what is creates that unease and discontent that most people accept as normal living. When this resistance becomes intensified through some challenge or threat to the ego, it brings up intense negativity, such as anger, acute fear, aggression, depression, and so on. Deep unconsciousness often means that the pain body has been triggered and that you have become identified with it. Physical violence would be impossible without deep unconsciousness. And it can also occur easily whenever and wherever a crowd of people or even an entire nation generates a negative collective energy field. The best indicator of your level of consciousness is how you deal with life's challenges when they come. Through those challenges, an already unconscious person tends to become more deeply unconscious, and a conscious person more intensely conscious. So you see, you can use a challenge to awaken you, or you can allow that same challenge to pull you into even deeper sleep. But recall, the dream of ordinary unconsciousness then turns into a nightmare. If you cannot be present even in normal circumstances, such as when you're sitting alone in a room or walking in the forest or listening to someone, then you certainly won't be able to stay conscious when something goes wrong or you're faced with difficult people or difficult situations, with loss or the threat of loss. You'll be taken over by a reaction, which ultimately is always some form of fear, and thus pulled into deep unconsciousness. Those challenges are your tests. Only the way in which you deal with them will show you and others where you are as far as your state of consciousness is concerned. It's not how long you can sit with your eyes closed or what visions you see. So, it's more essential to bring consciousness into your life in ordinary situations when everything is going relatively smoothly. In this way, you grow in presence power. It generates an energy field in you and around you of a high vibrational frequency. No unconsciousness, no negativity, no discord, no violence can enter that field and survive, just the same as darkness cannot survive in the presence of light. When you learn to be the witness of your thoughts and emotions, which is an essential part of being present, you may be surprised when you first become aware of the background static of ordinary unconsciousness and realize how rarely, if ever, you are truly at ease within yourself. On the level of your thinking, you will find a great deal of resistance in the form of judgment, discontent, mental projection away from the now. And on the emotional level, there will be an undercurrent of unease, tension, boredom, or nervousness. Both are aspects of the mind in its habitual resistance mode. This seems like a good place to pause for the episode to end today. Thanks for listening, and we will continue with another episode from Eckhart Tolle next week. Bye for now. Marlanka signing off.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.